Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With six hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
Oh, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace and mercy of God our Father be with you. Good morning to everyone, and welcome to all of you here, visitors and parishioners, those who are listening by radio and watching on television, and also listening by streaming. In a very special way, I want to welcome all the religious sisters and brothers who serve and minister in our diocese. I would also like to recognize Sister Louise Mary and the Pink Sisters, who probably are watching by television. No, they're not here. They can't be here. Who are probably watching by television. We're very, very grateful for your life of prayer and consecration as well. Today we honor these men and women who have given their life to Christ Jesus and to service in the church. We honor you as we conclude and close this year for consecrated life. Let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries. Lord Jesus, you have shown us the way to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you have given us the consolation of the truth. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd leading us into everlasting life. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Grant us, Lord our God, that we may honor you with all our mind and love everyone in truth of heart. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. But do you gird your loins, stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass, against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, against its priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." The word of the Lord.
I will sing of your salvation. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me, free me. Incline your ear to me and save me. I will sing of your salvation. My rock, my constant refuge, a mighty stronghold to save me. For you are my rock, my stronghold, my God, free me from the hand of the wicked. I will sing of your salvation. It is you, O Lord, who are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. On you I have leaned from my birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my help. I will sing of your salvation. My mouth will tell of your justice, and all the day long of your salvation. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I proclaim your wonders still. I will sing of your salvation.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially, and we prophesy partially. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. At present, we see indistinctly, as in a mirror, but then face to face. At present, I know partially. Then I shall know fully, as I am fully known. So faith, hope, love remain. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
To proclaim liberty to captives.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today's scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself and say, do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the day of Elijah, When the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land, it was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Zidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet no one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their own town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
Good morning again. I want to begin by recognizing and thanking the Sarah Club of Corpus Christi, the Diocese of Corpus Christi, who are here in great numbers. They are assisting and praying for and helping us with our efforts to increase vocations to the priesthood and consecrated life. And were with us last night, the sisters, and had a day of prayer and reflection yesterday, and we ended with a very nice meal, and if any of you think they have sour faces, you should have seen them last night. We had mariachis, and then we made them sing, and it was a very joyful night. I think some of the things that I'll say today about joy, I saw last night and experienced it myself. So thank you, sisters, for a great evening last night. I also want to thank Sister Gloria Rodriguez, who's here and is also director of our Office for Consecrated Life, and recognize also Sister Annette, who preceded her in the office for the last couple of years and has now been elected Superior General of the Incarnate Word Sisters. The first Sunday of Advent in 2014, 14 months ago, we began a journey, you especially began a journey of reflection on your life as consecrated women and men. And we as a church, the Universal Church, have rejoiced with you at several occasions along the way to recognize, to appreciate, and to show gratitude for your call by the Lord Jesus Christ to follow him as religious, consecrated women and men for service to his body, the church. I'm sure that over this year, you have had an opportunity in your individual congregations to reflect upon and review your call, the call that Jesus gave you at one point in your life. We see in the gospel Jesus approaching a table with a tax collector behind him, Matthew, and saying, "Follow me." We see Jesus along the river Jordan and along the Sea of Galilee, telling fishermen to put their nets down and follow him. We see Jesus in so many moments in the gospel, approaching people and asking them to follow him without reserve. Most poignantly is when Jesus met the rich young man, and the young man came to him with a question, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" And Jesus gave him the list of the commandments, to which he responded, "I've done all of those things. What more must I do?" And the beautiful account says that Jesus looked at him with love. He stared him in the eyes, and he said, "Give what you have to the poor and come follow me." What an intimate moment between the Son of God and a human person. A look into the eye to say, "Come, follow me." We have also in the first reading from the prophet Jeremiah that beautiful account of Jeremiah's call when he says, speaking in the name of the Lord, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." You can't get more personal than that. Before you were in your mother's womb, he knew you. Thus, the dignity of all human life from conception, and according to Jeremiah, prior to conception. Because we are all born in the mind of God, even prior to entering our mother's womb. "And before you were born, I dedicated you." God knowing you in the womb, and Jesus looking you in the eye and saying, "Come, follow me." Sisters and brothers, I hope that during this year you have had a moment to reflect on those two very well-known passages of the sacred scripture, one from the Old Testament and one from the life of Jesus in the Gospels, and that you've had an opportunity to look back at him, to look back into the eyes of Jesus, whether it be on the crucifix, in a moment of adoration, the Blessed Sacrament, or in the depth of your heart, and to look back at him and say, "Thank you. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for giving me that special look, which is called vocation." All vocations are initiated by God. We live in a culture of choice, which is a falsehood. There is no choice. God calls. It is not in our power. It is in our power to say no, but it is God, the creator and supreme being of all of us, who plants in our life, life itself, but also the vocation to follow him. In the 15th chapter of John, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, I chose you." And so over these months, I do hope that you have had that opportunity to respond with an act of love for him in a simple moment of gratitude. But he did not call you just to sit at home and pray all your life. Even the sisters in cloistered life know that that is not the way God calls us. He calls us to also be ministers. These past couple of days, I've reflected on the religious women in particular and the religious priests who have been a part of my life. Two great aunts who were religious sisters, one a contemplative Poor Clare, and the other a classroom teacher with the Dominican Sisters in Houston. And the many sisters that have influenced my life growing up in the classroom, but also those who in my 40 years of priestly ministry have served with me and have been a great inspiration to me. And it came to me to reflect on those ministries to which you are called, not to serve yourself, but to serve us, the body of Christ. Because when we needed an education, sisters, you were there. When we needed instruction in the faith, you've been there. When we needed comfort in the hospitals, when we were sick, you've been there to come and see us and pray with us. When we just needed a prayer, we could call the convents and know that you were there to pray for us. When we have been hungry or naked, without clothing, on the streets, you have been there to welcome us into a shelter, at least for a day, to feed us and to clothe us. When we have been elderly and toward the end of life and needed extra assistance, you have been there for us. When we just needed a time away to retreat and to spend more time intimately with our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, you have offered a place for us to pray. I say us in all of these things, because when you serve one, you serve all of us. We are a body. No one is superior to anyone else. No one ministry is better than any other. We serve as a body, as St. Paul reminded us so beautifully last Sunday. The hand cannot say to the eye, I do not need you. We do need you. And you, sisters and brothers, through your life have responded to our needs as the body of Christ. But perhaps what motivates you most is knowing that whatever you do to the least, you have done to Jesus. Back from the call, that look in the eye, to also find him in the look of that human person that needs Jesus, and you have been there to serve. Sisters and brothers, today we recognize that you have been an integral part and continue to be an integral part of the incarnational aspect of God's mercy. And that is why, as we now fold this conclusion into the opening of the year of mercy, more than ever, you find your identity with us, that your consecration to Christ and to his church is now taking greater expression during this year to be a sign of God's mercy to his people, as you have so characteristically been over these years. But your ministry, in a very special way, is and should be always characterized by one specific virtue or one specific fruit of the Holy Spirit. Recognizing that you were known from your mother's womb, that you have been looked upon from the eyes of Jesus, asking you to follow him, called by Jesus, I hope, and I'm sure you do, have found a joy that you cannot purchase, a joy that you cannot find anywhere else. Pope Francis said, the beauty of consecration is joy. Our Holy Father, the beauty of consecrated life is joy. There is no holiness, he said, in sadness. We're all sad over something or something that happens day after day. But it's not a sadness that overcomes us, because greater than the sadnesses of life is the beauty of consecrated joy. Joy, the Holy Father says, is the foundation of human life. Joy is a necessity. And I don't speak just to the sisters, to all of us. Joy is the foundation of the Christian life. Joy is a necessity. We are not doom and gloom people. And so we forge ahead together, thanking God for your call, serving together in the present moment, but also in the darkness of this world, looking ahead with tremendous hope and with unbounded joy. All of us as a church, all of us in this diocese and beyond, must stand together as the body of Christ, not everybody doing their own thing, because Jesus has a mission for all of us united together. Together. And that is to be his face of mercy as he is the face of God's mercy. To be merciful together to each other and to be merciful to those who need God's mercy the most in the new evangelization. I thought it appropriate in the psalm of today, Psalm 71, as we know the psalms are the prayers of the church in response to God's words. And I think as a prayer for you, men and women religious, and for all of us, we conclude this homily with these words of Psalm 71. For you are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I have depended from my birth. From my mother's womb, you are my strength. My mouth shall declare your justice day by day, your salvation. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and till the present, I proclaim your wondrous deeds. If that is our prayer, how could we ever be without hope? How could we ever be sad? Let us live this moment of joy together and rededicate ourselves, all of us, in our various vocations to serve God and to serve his body, the church. And as we do every year, we will ask the religious men and women of our diocese to restate their consecration to Christ and his church. Today, as we celebrate the World Day of Consecrated Life and close the year of consecrated life, we take the opportunity to recognize those who are celebrating their jubilees. This year, we acknowledge with gratitude consecrated lives of commitment ranging from 25 years of dedication to 70 years of life. Although some of our jubilarians are not here present today, we still would like to recognize them. And so, jubilarians, as I call your name, please stand and be recognized by the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Celebrating 25 years, Sister Mary Helen de la Paz, Salt. Sister Mary Virgencita Navarro is a pink sister, obviously not here. Sister, we welcome and thank you. Celebrating 50 years of consecrated life is Mother Maria Elva Reyes, the Pax Christi Institute. Sister Rosemary Liz Lichnowsky of the Incarnate Word Sisters. Sister Mary Ann Korsinski of the Incarnate Word Sisters. And Sister Mary Carmen Sandoval, Salt, to each of you. And celebrating 70 years of consecrated life, Sister Dorothy Anheuser of the Incarnate Word Sisters. And Sister Mary Bertha Horning, also of the Pink Sisters, who is not with us. To each of you, we recognize you, thank you, for serving God's people, the body of Christ. Just to show you the cycle of life, last night as we were recognizing them, Sister Dorothy, when Mother Maria Elva was announced, Sister Dorothy leaned over to me and she said, "I taught her in high school." My sisters, you have committed yourself to the Lord through professing the evangelical counsels of celibate chastity, poverty, and obedience. On behalf of his church, I thank you for your many years of dedication and dedicated service. In the presence of this assembly, I invite you now to renew your commitment, along with the religious brothers, to follow Christ in consecrated life. And I invite all of those who share in consecrated life now to stand and join with our jubilarians in renewing your commitment to serve the Lord in his people in your vocation. Most. Commitment of our brothers and sisters to their consecrated life, and let us now, as the diocese, the church, and Corpus Christi, assure them of our continued prayers and support. They're found on your piece of paper as you were given as you came in. Together, we, the Church of Corpus Christi, thank God for the witness and service given us by these women and women. We will continue to support them and share with them the hopes and fears, the joys and the challenges of our life together in Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, you have invited these women and men to a life of public service in and to your church. May they continue to bear witness to the great grace of their vocation, persevering in a life of prayer and service. May you fulfill in them the hundredfold promise to those who give up all they have for the sake of the gospel. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you so much, sisters and brothers. Profess our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. Again, in accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. My dear friends, with loving trust in God our Father, we now come before him with these petitions.
For our Holy Father, Pope Francis, our Bishop Michael, and all the priests, that they may be witnesses of God's saving love and continue to preach and teach the truth of the gospel. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of our religious brothers and sisters in consecrated life, that their personal desire to live out the evangelical counsels to know and love God find them continuing to seek more time to be in God's presence. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all Catholic school teachers throughout our diocese, as we begin the National Catholic Schools Week, may they be blessed and strengthened as they strive to help young people develop their unique gifts and talents. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We pray for all of those who are discerning their vocation in life, particularly those whom the Lord is calling to the consecrated life. May they be given the wisdom to hear God's call and the courage to respond generously. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of us gathered here in faith, that we will always be open to God's invitation to live a life filled with love, peace, and joy, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the intentions of Margarita Garcia, and for those who have died, in a special way, any deceased members of the religious communities represented here, and for the repose of the souls of the Mew family, John Marion Egan, and Ben Murr, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for those intentions, we now offer in the silence of our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we know the tremendous love that you have for each one of us in calling us to Christ. We ask you to hear our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Grant us, Lord our God, that we may honor you and bring to your altar these offerings of our service. Be pleased to receive them, we pray, and transform them into the sacrament of our redemption. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you so loved the world that in your mercy you sent us the Redeemer to live like us in all things but sin, so that you might love in us what you loved in your Son, by whose obedience we have been restored to those gifts of yours that by sinning we lost in disobedience. And so, Lord, with all the angels and saints, we too give you thanks as in exaltation we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice.
Hello.
And once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you,
and all of us here at the cathedral. I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen."
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast.